Welcome to this podcast by The Rocks Church. We hope you find it challenging and inspiring. For more information, visit therocks.church.
This morning we are in for a treat because my good friend Jason Perkins will be speaking to us in a minute. Let me just introduce him. He's a good friend of mine. His parents come from America. He's a very confused person. Let me tell you that, right? His parents are both American missionaries who moved to Australia long ago, and you were born here, and he grew up here, and then he moved back to the United States, and then pastoring in the United States in Colorado Springs, Colorado, and then he moved now back here. He lives in Brisbane now, and he has a confused accent, you know, and I don't know what he is. He's American as well as Australian, but guess what? We claim him to be Australian, all right? So he's a fantastic communicator. I really do believe that God has something special that God wants to speak to us through him. So if you lean in and pay attention, I really believe that your time here will be worthwhile. Come on, let's give The Rock's warmest welcome to Jason Perkins.
Thanks, mate. Hey, good morning, everyone. Everyone doing well this morning? Yeah, good. I am so impressed. I'm so impressed. This is a long weekend. Like, you could have been anywhere else but church, but you chose to be here on a Sunday when, like, it wouldn't have mattered because the normal people aren't up on stage to see whether you are here or not, and you still chose to come. I am so pumped that you chose to be here this morning. As Daniel said, my name's Jason, and I've been doing a lot of research on Perth. Over the last couple of weeks, because the last time I was in Perth, I celebrated my first birthday. So that was 20 years ago, and I'm back to try and do a little bit more surveying of Perth, and I figure there are two groups of people in the room this morning. And you're like, wait a second, Jason, how in the world would you even know if there's more than two groups? I think there's just two groups of people in the room this morning, and I want to do a quick survey to prove it, okay? Raise your hand if you're the type of person that you would describe as a dreamer. You love to dream, okay? Raise your hand up nice and high. If you would describe yourself as a bit of a dreamer, keep your hand up nice and high. Everybody else in the room, look around at these incredible people that are dreamers, okay? You can now put your hands down. I want you to raise your hand if you would call yourself an opposite of a dreamer. So you're a pessimist, okay? Raise your hand if you're a pessimist, all right? Raise your hand if you're like, hey, I just don't raise my hand in church. So just raise your hand if that's you. All right, I caught a couple of you out. See what I did there? Okay, you just raised your hand in church. Now listen, here's the deal. People that aren't dreamers, oftentimes dreamers like myself, we refer to you as pessimists. But the reality is you would describe yourself as a realist. You're not a pessimist. You're a realist. You know what tends to happen between dreamers and realists? They tend to get married. They oftentimes end up together in life with each other. And that's my story. My wife and I, we've been married for 20 years now. We have three children. My oldest son, Xavier, is 18 years old. He's studying a course to go into counseling. He wants to be a counselor one day. My beautiful daughter, Olivia, my only daughter, she's 16 years old. As I mentioned to a group of people yesterday, I have a very large collection of medieval weaponry because of my daughter, Olivia. She is the reason for that. So if you ever hear, maybe Southeast Queensland, there's a massacre using medieval weaponry of 16-year-old boys, you will know who the guy was, okay? You can just tell the police ahead of time, save your time investigating, I know who it was. And then my youngest son, Miles, he's 14 years old. He is the life of the party in our home. But between my wife and I'm the dreamer, she's the realist, as she would describe herself. And so I oftentimes find myself dreaming of things, and my wife, I feel like metaphorically, has one of my medieval shotguns. They didn't have shotguns back then, but just go with me for the story. And every time I throw a dream or an idea up into the air, it's like clay shooting for her. She's like, shoot, boom, boom, boom. I'm going to shoot down every dream and idea this guy has. Because I think she's a pessimist. She would say, no, Jason, I'm just a realist. Your dreams and ideas are absolutely nuts. So before I came to Perth, I decided I'm going to do some research to find out, are there any dreamers in Perth? And I found someone online, actually not a person, but an animal who had a massive, massive dream. Turn your attention to the screen to take a look at this animal dreaming.
have another go.
Ambitious dog.
Every day.
Come on.
Every dog on, dreams mate. Of a big come stick on. In their mouth.
Harper, come on. Good girl.
But the other dogs are like, that's not realistic. See the realist dogs and the dreamer dog?
Come on, dogs.
Wait a second.
That's it. Good dogs. Come on. Come on. Here.
Well done.
Hey. Pessimist well dog in the background okay. going, I never thought it would work.
Nice work.
I never thought it would work. Hey, there may be not many people in Perth that are dreamers, but there are definitely some animals in Perth that are dreamers. And here's what I've discovered, not just from those dogs, but over the years, I've discovered that teamwork actually is the thing that makes the dream work. Now, when I was a 16-year-old kid, I had massive dreams. I was living, as Daniel said, I've spent a little bit of time living in Australia, a little bit of time living in the U.S. I'm a dual citizen. I was born and raised in Australia, but I've lived in the U.S. probably about 17 years all up if you combine the time of my life in the U.S. So I have what I call the Russell Crowe version of the accent. Grew up in Australia, just spent a little bit too long in the U.S., and so it's kind of moved in on my Australian accent. But as a kid, I dreamed of one thing as a teenager, and that was playing professional basketball. I loved basketball so much, still do today. In fact, as we speak right now, my favorite team, the Los Angeles Lakers, just tipped off about 20 minutes ago. I found out because my phone told me during the songs, and so I'll wait until this afternoon to watch the game, but that's how into basketball I was, and I still am today. One of my girlfriends used to drop me off after school in the afternoon, and she would drop me off at the playground, and I would spend hours and hours playing at the playground. I have no idea why she wanted to be my girlfriend, because I did not focus my attention on her that much. And she would ask me, Jason, why is it that you're always constantly wanting to play basketball? Why do you give so much time, so much attention to this dream of playing basketball? And I used to respond to her. I'd say, when it comes to dreams, this particular dream, that's the price you pay to be in the NBA. Now, you're going to find out really quickly that I love kind of rhyming little words and things together. You're going to find this out this morning, but it's not a new phenomenon for me. It's something I've been doing since I was a teenager. Even my first girlfriend, when I was 16 years old, had to listen to these stupid rhyming things because I would say to her all the time, that's the price you pay to be in the NBA. What I've learned about dreams is that sometimes dreams are discovered oftentimes when a problem is uncovered. In fact, last Sunday, I understand that our good friend John, he wrapped up this series that we did called Love, Dates, and Heartbreaks. And I found out that he discovered a new dream of his from a problem that he uncovered. He has a dream to get married because he uncovered the problem of being single. And if you didn't get to see John's message last week, no problem. Go to therocks.church, catch up on last week's message. In fact, catch up on the whole series because it was a phenomenal series, especially if you're in that season of life where you're uncovering some problems when it comes to your relationships. You might just discover a new dream like John did, that there is a dream out there of being married when you uncover the problem of being single. Hey, this morning, we're going to talk about dreams. And this whole weekend, since I've been here in Perth, I've been chatting with Daniel and some of the team members about the dream that was birthed here at The Rocks over 10 years ago now. And I want to share with you some things that I think will be so helpful for you, no matter where you're at in your faith journey. Some of you here this morning, maybe you came to church for the very first time simply because somebody invited you and said, there's a really hot guy named John who discovered a dream last week. You should come. You might get to meet him. I don't know what your reason is for being at church here today. I have no clue. I don't know if you've been coming for years or this is your first time ever. I don't know if you'd call yourself a church person or not a church person. Believe the Bible, don't believe the Bible. Understand who Jesus is or have lots of questions about who Jesus is. No matter where you're at, no matter if you're a guy or a girl, married or single, old or young, doesn't matter. I think today we can all walk out of here with the truth that will help us with our dreams. And here's what I've discovered. As I mentioned before, oftentimes dreams are discovered when a problem is uncovered. Many years ago, there were a group of people here in Perth. Daniel, your pastor, was one of these people. That they uncovered this idea, this problem in Perth, that there are a lot of churches in Perth, but yet there are still a large percentage of people that want nothing to do with church. And that was a problem that finally Daniel discovered this problem, and he came to this conclusion, along with a group of other people. Perth didn't need yet another church. Perth needed a different kind of church. So if you are here this morning and you say, Jason, I'm not really a church person. I've been coming for a couple of weeks, or maybe this is your first time here. I honestly think in all of the churches in Perth, you picked the perfect church to come to, because Perth didn't need another church. There's plenty of them. In fact, I was at Fremantle yesterday and I saw a church with a big poster on it saying for lease. And a restaurant or something else is going to move in there. Perth doesn't need more churches. But they discovered a problem. And in that, they discovered a dream that perhaps Perth could have a different kind of church. In fact, the Rock's dream, if you're not familiar with what the Rock's dream is, it's pretty simple. It's to create a church that even people who don't normally go to church would love to come to. So if you don't normally go to church, this is the perfect place for you to come and check out church and Christianity. If you go to church on a regular basis, maybe you're here every single Sunday, I would say it's the perfect church for you, because you're probably concerned with the fact that there are a lot of churches in Perth, but there are still a lot of people that see no relevancy in attending a church. So this is a great place to be because of this incredible dream. Now, here's the problem, though, that we're going to solve this morning. I believe we're going to find a solution to it. This kind of church can't be done alone. Just like the dog couldn't carry that big stick by itself, one person or even a small group of people can't carry this dream of creating a church that even people that don't normally go to church would love to come to. They can't carry it alone. If this dream is going to live on, if it's going to multiply itself across this great city, and even bigger than that, Daniel and I are a part of a network of churches that believe this is a dream that could be for every community in Australia. I know you think that sounds ridiculous, but I'm convinced that God wants a church in every community that's designed for people that don't normally go to church, all across this great country. But we can't do it alone. But I believe there's a truth that we'll look at this morning that can help us discover exactly how this dream can come to life. And even if you're not a church person, I think all of us have dreams in our lives, and I think this truth will not only help us understand how this church dream can come to life, but how your dream can come to life as well. In 52 AD, in the first century, there was a man named Paul. If you've been around church for any length of time, you probably have heard Paul's story, but for those of you that may be new to this whole concept, let me just catch you up real quickly on who this guy Paul was. Paul wrote most of, more than half of, what is called today the New Testament, the second half of the Bible. He wrote so many letters and so many documents that describe how the church's dream can come to life. And in 52 AD, he actually went on a journey all around the then known world, and he stopped into a city called Ephesus, a famous city back then. It was a port city where a lot of commerce and a lot of entertainment and a lot of religious type of ideologies was born out of this city called Ephesus. While he was there in 52 AD, a small gathering of people with a dream to follow Jesus started getting together, and they started a tiny little church. Many years later, Paul was on another journey, traveling around the then known world, visiting all of these churches that he had started all over the Roman Empire. And he stopped into Ephesus in about 56, 57 AD. And he actually stayed at the church in Ephesus for a 2-3 year period of time to invest his life into the people that were part of this growing church. It would be as if Paul was traveling all around Australia, stopping in Sydney and Melbourne and Canberra and Adelaide, stopping off in Perth and seeing the Rocks in this incredible dream and saying, hey, I want to hang out here for a couple of years and help you fulfill this dream. And then Paul moved on and he went to the city of Rome, and he was eventually arrested for being a follower of Jesus. And in prison in Rome, right before he's about to pass away. It's about 62, 63 AD, so about 10 years after he had helped start this church in Ephesus, he writes a letter to the people that are living in Ephesus as a part of this church. In this letter, I think we find the truth of how we can make our dreams come to life. Listen to what Paul has to say to these people living in this ancient city of Ephesus. He says this, "Therefore, I, a prisoner for serving the Lord," he's in prison, for arrested, for following Jesus. He says, "I beg you to lead a life. Lead yourself. Don't wait for somebody else to lead you. Lead yourself in a life that is worthy of your calling that God has given you because you've been called by God." Paul says to these guys living in Ephesus, hey, don't wait for one of the people in the church to lead you. Don't wait for your spouse to lead you. Don't wait for your child or some other leader in the church. Lead yourself in this incredible calling that God has given you and this incredible dream that he's placed in your life. Lead yourself. And while you're doing it, he goes on to say, always be humble and gentle. Continue to be patient with each other, making allowances for each other. In the church, I think we so often forget to make allowances for others. Like making an allowance for a guy that has a weird mixed up accent. He's confused. He doesn't even know where he's from. Make an allowance for the confused guy on the stage. Make an allowance for the person that may be parked in the spot that you've always parked in. And I can't believe, how dare they park in my spot? Do they not know? I've been at this church before we even had this building. I helped pay for the building. Making allowances for each other. Making every effort to keep yourselves united in the Spirit. Binding yourselves together with peace. Unified with this dream. I love the description Paul goes on to say. He says, "For there is one body, for there is one Spirit, just as you have been called to one glorious hope for the future." It's almost as if Paul would say, the Rocks Church, you've got one dream. From the beginning, you've always seen that Perth didn't need another church. It needed a different kind of church. You have one hope. You have one dream. It's to create a church that even people that don't normally go to church would love to come to. There would be no hurdle for them coming. There would be no barrier for them coming. They wouldn't have to know where to park and where not to park because somebody else's parking spot could get taken. They wouldn't have to worry. One big dream for everyone, no matter where they're from, no matter their background, no matter where they're at on their faith journey. One huge dream, Paul would say, for the future. He goes on to say, however, with this one big dream, God has done something special. However, he has given each one of us a spiritual gift through the generosity of Christ. We come from all different backgrounds, and although we have one big, massive dream, he actually has given us an incredible amount of diversity in this room. In this community called the Rocks, there is incredible amount of diversity. Paul begins to outline for the people living in Ephesus and for the people living in Perth attending the Rocks, he begins to outline this incredible gift of diversity that God has given to us as a church. He begins to describe it. He says, now, these are the gifts. These are the gifts that he's given, Christ has given to the church. Some are the apostles, some the prophets, the evangelists, and the pastors, and the teachers. You know some of the people in this room and at this community, in this community and in this church that have these gifts of being able to prophesy, being able to pastor, being able to teach. There are many people with different types of gifts. Don't miss this, especially if you've been going to church for a long period of time. Listen very carefully. You may be counting the ceiling tiles at this point. You may be trying to figure out, how do they make all the lights move behind this guy? I have no idea how this whole thing works. Don't miss this, especially if you're a church person. We see this list, and oftentimes we think, those are the special people that do the work of the ministry. Those are the special people that have special gifts and special abilities that God has uniquely somehow chosen to make this whole dream come to life, to make this thing work. But Paul goes on to tell us that's not the point of the gifts. Paul describes the point in this way. He says all of those people were given those gifts, and their responsibility with those gifts in the next part of the verse is to equip That's what they're here for. Not to do all of the work, but to equip. For many years, I was a businessman living in the U.S., flying all around the country, running marketing and sales for a software company, living in Austin and Boston, New York, all different places across the U.S., but attending my church regularly, and I fell into the trap of thinking that the pastors and the teachers and the staff of our church, they were the ones to do the work of the ministry. I would faithfully attend, occasionally volunteer, maybe once every 4 or 6 weeks or so when I could fit it into my busy schedule. And I would give faithfully so that I was enabling them to do the work of the ministry. Paul says, oh no, you've got it all wrong. That's not the point. That's not the point. They are to be there to equip. And he goes on to say in the next verse, he goes on to say, they're to equip the people of God to do the work of the ministry. Teamwork. Teamwork is what makes the dream work. Teamwork is the thing that makes the dream work. In the next part of that verse, Paul said, these are the responsibilities for the pastors, teachers, prophets, apostles to equip the people of God, the people at the Rocks Church, to be the ones to do the work of the ministry. It's teamwork, not the staff team, but the whole team that makes the dream come to life. Teamwork makes this dream work. So let me get really practical as we begin to wrap up our time together. I want to give you just three things that I think will help you put into practice what Paul is talking about. Number one, teamwork makes the dream work. Number one, we all have to understand the goal. All of us have to understand the goal. You have to be aligned to the goal. You have to understand the goal. You have to embrace the goal of helping to create a church, not just for church people, but for all people in Perth. That's the goal. Understand the goal, point number one. And if you're not a church person, maybe you work on a team in the workplace, or maybe you're on a team at school, or maybe you're on a sports team. Doesn't matter what type of team you're on. I think the first thing for every team to understand is the goal that that team is on. Even if you walk out of here today and you say, Jason, I'm not sure about Jesus, the church, the Bible, that whole deal. I think you can take this with you tomorrow to work. What we're learning today is practical in every part of our lives, in our families, in our school, in our workplace, in the community. Understanding the goal of your team is paramount to everything else. Number two is you have to discover your role on the team. See, Paul identified that there are some people that are apostles, teachers, pastors, prophets, but all of us are to do the work of the ministry. We've got to discover what's our role. You say, Jason, how am I supposed to discover what's my role? I've been going to church here maybe a couple of weeks or maybe a couple of months, couple of years. Maybe this is your first time here and you're saying, man, I like the idea of this goal of creating a church that even people that don't normally go to church would love to come to. How am I supposed to take my understanding of the goal and now discover my role? How do I do that? Let me get super practical for you. For many years, living in Austin, Texas, I understood the goal of the church that I would attend on a regular basis. In fact, I sat down in the audience in a chair just like this one over here. I would come in every week, find my spot at the end of the row, and I would sit down in the auditorium. I would sit there and occasionally I would get up when the band started playing and I'd get excited about the song we were singing. And I'd stand up and I'd get my hands in the air, celebrating what God had done for me. I was so excited about what God was doing in my life. And then I'd sit back down and listen to a great message. Occasionally, I would work in the production booth back here in the church. About once a month or maybe once every 2 months, I would help to run the lighting for the church. I was that guy that figured out where that weird preacher was going to sit in the audience in the middle of his message so that the light would come on him. But then I heard a message I'll never forget. I'll never forget hearing the message to say that in order for this dream to come to life in Austin, Texas, of a church that everybody could go to, we need everybody to be on the team. And the call was simple. They said, hey, we need some people to help out. Of all environments, they said transit. 6th to 8th grade boys Do you know how bad 6th to 8th grade boys smell? They use Axe like it's going out of style to cover up all the other smells. But I finally said, yeah, I want to discover my role. I don't know. I'm a lighting guy. I'm a marketing and sales guy. I fly around the country for a living. But I don't know what 6th to 8th grade boys might get from my life. But I'm willing to stand up, take a step out of my seat, sign up out in the foyer, and see what God might do. Wasn't a pastor at the time, wasn't a preacher. Just helping middle school boys discover Jesus. I'll never forget, after transit one Sunday, a lady came up to me and said, hey Jason, you see that couple out there that are driving away? About a year ago, they started coming to our church. Their marriage was falling apart. They weren't church people. They'd never been to church, but they had a boy that was in 7th grade. Started coming to transit, and he loves it. He loves coming to transit every Sunday. And so because of that, he drags his parents back to church every Sunday. And because of that, they've begun to listen to some of the messages from the Bible and begun to work on their relationship, and their marriage is starting to come back together. And eventually, this couple actually got baptized, became followers of Jesus, all because I finally said, I'm going to get out of my seat, and I'm just going to try to discover what is the role that God has for me. Because I understand this goal. It's super simple to discover your role. You just take a step, find out, is this the place that God might have for me? And if it's not, you take another step and you find out another place. Maybe some of you have never served before. Maybe you're not part of the goal yet. Maybe you haven't joined a team. Maybe some of you, like me, are on a team, but you're kind of doing it in your own terms. And God may be saying to you, you know what, once a month, once every 6 weeks, that's good, but imagine if you did it every week, how quickly we could get to this goal. And then finally, discover your role and then leverage your role. Leverage it. Understand the goal, discover this role, and then leverage your role. I put what Paul's saying in a pithy little statement. I only do this not to be impressive, but just for me to remember the statement. I simply say it this way: leverage your role for the good of the whole, so we can all reach the goal. That's it. Leverage your role, not for yourself, but for the good of the whole. The whole of Perth needs a church that even people that don't normally go to church would love to come to. So leverage your role for the good of the whole, so we can all reach this goal. I think this is so important, so powerful. I know this sounds weird and it sounds crazy, but I think it's important for us to remember this. So I want us to repeat this out loud on the count of three. Would you do that with me? Would you just humor me this morning? Go with it for a second. On the count of three. 1, 2, 3. Leverage your role for the good of the whole so we can all reach the goal. Now listen, you guys are 9 a.m. service people, okay? You're up early. You're overachievers. You can do better than that. I expect that kind of response for the 11 o'clock. Let's be honest. Let's do a little bit better on the count of three. You ready? Say it like you actually mean it, as if Paul was here and you're telling Paul, I agree with you. Ready? 1, 2, 3. Leverage your role for the good of the whole so we can all reach the goal. Here's what needs to happen in order for this to work. We all have to take on a special attitude. We have to have this attitude in order for the team to work. And the attitude is a simple one, but it's not easy. The attitude is a humble servant. Paul, the same guy that gave us this idea of leverage your role for the good of the whole so we can all reach the goal, and he gave this gift to this church in Ephesus, he describes this attitude in the person of Jesus to a church, another church not far from Ephesus in Philippi. He says it in this way. He says, in your relationships with one another, have the same mindset or attitude as Jesus Christ. Now listen to the attitude that Jesus had, who being in the very nature God, did not consider equality with God something to be used to his own advantage. Imagine for yourself for a moment, the God of the universe up in heaven, Jesus Christ in heaven, could have leveraged his role as God to do whatever he wanted for himself. But Paul says, he made himself nothing. He didn't leverage his role for himself. He leveraged it for all of us. He made himself nothing by taking on the very nature of a servant, being made in human likeness and being found in the appearance as a man. He humbled himself by becoming obedient to death, even death on the cross. You talk about the greatest ever example of leveraging the role for the good of the whole so we all could reach the goal of a relationship with God. Holy cow. Jesus is the epitome of leverage your role for the good of the whole, not for himself, so that we could all reach that goal. I've asked the band to come out as we finish our time together and to sing a song for us so we can reflect on what do we do with this practically? What do I do, Jason, as a guy that maybe is already serving, but I don't have a lot of time on my hands? What do I do practically with this? As a lady that maybe is busy and mom raising children and you're spent because you don't have a lot of time on your hands, what do I do, Jason, practically? I understand the goal. I kind of know what my role should be. What do I do practically to leverage my role? I've asked the band to come and to sing a song so we can all reflect and ask God, God, what would you have me do with this? There's a line in this song. Don't miss this line. So important. The line in the song says these words, I will build my life upon your love. Jesus has expressed his love to us so powerfully. He didn't leverage his role as God for himself. He leveraged it for you and he leveraged it for me, and I'm so grateful. So because of that, I can build my life upon his love. It is a firm foundation. It doesn't change. So many other things in life change constantly, but not God's love for you. If you don't hear anything else today, please take that home with you. Many things in this world will change, but God's love for you is never changing. So if you want to build a life that has impact, like Jesus' life had impact in this world, build your life upon that firm foundation. Jesus said it this way, Matthew recorded it for us. If you try to hang on to your life, you'll lose it. But if you give up your life for my sake, Jesus said, you will save it. I love this quote from a mentor of mine, a guy named Andy Stanley said it this way, the value of a life is always measured by how much of that life is given away. Do me a favor for a second. Imagine for a moment, it's December 31st, 2020, the end of this year. And you're looking back over not your whole life, but just this year. And you're measuring the value of this year in your life. I think you'll come to the end of this year and you'll value how much of your life was given away, not how much you kept for yourself. Don't get to the end of this year and have a regret. Today is an opportunity. Daniel's going to come in just a moment after the band sings and share with you how you can give more of your life away this year and leverage your role for the good of the whole so we can all reach the goal. Today's the opportunity to leverage that role, discover it for the good of the whole, to give your life away to others so that we can all reach that goal. Would you pray with me this morning? Father, would you help us to know exactly what to do with what we've heard this morning? God, I know that for some people, they're here for the first time and they're wondering, I don't even understand this church thing. God, would you help them to understand what they could do practically, maybe tomorrow in the workplace or at school or even here at church, to take a step towards leveraging their role and discovering. God, for those of us that have been following you for a long time, help us please now in this moment, God, to know what to do with what we've just heard. And I pray all of this in your son's precious name, in the name of Jesus. Amen.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. For more great resources and to keep yourself up to date, head to our website. Visit therocks.church.